Everyone, welcome to the program. I'm your host, Nadia Shamsuddin. Thanks for joining me this morning. I have an interesting guest this morning with you, Dick Cote. He is the author of the book Safe House, the compelling memoirs of the only CIA spy to seek asylum in Russia. Dick Cote is an award-winning author and no stranger to mysteries and secrets. He's the author of over 30 books, including one where he traveled to the United Arab Emirates to ghostwrite a book about gold smuggling in the Arabian Gulf for an influential Dubai businessman and former government officials. And as well in 1999, Marine Lieutenant Colonel Robin Higgins chose him to co-write the story of the kidnapping and assassination by Hezbollah terrorists of her husband, Colonel Rich Higgins, commander of the UN peacekeeping force in Lebanon. Good morning, Dick. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Well, you know, even though you wrote this book some time back, it's still a very powerful story, very compelling, and kind of got buried. And I wanted to bring it to my listeners today because there are so many elements in it that will ring true the story of any CIA spy who gets nabbed and hung out to dry like a whipping boy. So let's get to talking about him. How did you get the job to work for him in Moscow?
Well, in 1994, my career as a professional writer was just getting underway, and I was working with doing research for a man who was deeply concerned with espionage affairs and conspiracy theories, and I thought it was quite interesting. And then I got the call of a lifetime for a writer, and it was the story of Edward Lee Howard, and I was asked if I was willing to go to Russia, go to Moscow, live with Ed Howard for about 10 days, and ask him all the questions that the FBI and the CIA were unable to ask him because he had accepted political asylum in the Soviet Union.
Well, we're going to take our first break right now. It comes up quickly, but stay with us and we'll return. Hang in there.
Oh. Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Well, with that, talking with Dick Cote, author of Safe House, about Edward Lee Howard. And before the break, Dick, we were you were talking about how this opportunity of ghostwriting the story came to be.
Yes. Mr. Howard had already written over 1,000 pages of material for his publisher, but there were some problems. He had been out of contact with people who spoke the English language for quite some time, and his English had deteriorated. It's quite a common problem for expatriates. Also, when he first wrote that first draft, he was a very angry man. He was incensed that the FBI had fired him for no good reason that he could think of, and a lot of that venom showed up in the first draft of the manuscript. And finally, it was a personal recollection, but most of the information he was covering would not have been of any interest to anyone in the United States. So the book clearly needed a thorough rewrite, but time was a-wasting, the project was 2 years behind, and they needed some emergency literary help, and consequently, that's when I came into the picture.
So he was angry because the CIA fired him, and then the events that ensued after that, the FBI was on his case for some time. Tell me about your first face-to-face meeting with him. Where did it take place?
That was nothing if not spooky. I was flown to Moscow, and where I was told that I would meet Mr. Howard in the airport. Well, I had never seen a picture of him. He had a picture of me. And the Moscow airport, this is just after the collapse of the Soviet Union, the Moscow airport arrival terminal, it was at the, it looked like something out of a scary movie. Half the light bulbs were dangling from the ceiling. Half of them didn't work. Mysterious people, literally in trench coats, were in the shadows watching everyone. And after I finally got through customs and immigration, I just waited around and looked around to try to see if I could identify him. And then, as I was standing there in this gloom and surrounded by gloom and doom, someone put a hand on my shoulder, and I turned around and excuse me, Mr. Howard said, Mr. Cote, I believe you're looking for me.
Yeah, well, it's interesting how you describe the airport really sets the tone for the rest of the story. So did you stay in his Moscow apartment or at his dacha in the country?
For the, I believe it was 11 days that I was in Moscow, I stayed at his apartment downtown, which was about a five-minute walk from Red Square. However, I did make two or three trips out to his dacha, which is simply a Russian term for a country house, about 25 miles outside of Moscow in Zhukovka, very close to the President Yeltsin's residence.
Hmm. What did you guys talk about? What were your interview questions?
Well, I had had done quite a few interviews before for a number of other books, and I knew that this book had to answer all the questions that the FBI and the CIA dearly wanted to ask him but couldn't. So prior to my trip to Moscow, I sat down and went through a previous book which had been written about Howard and put that together with every question that the FBI was dying to ask him. And made up a long list, and that was our working document.
So can you describe like a typical day, and when did you do the interviews?
Well, there was not really a typical day at all. Mr. Howard was in the process of making the transition from guest of the Soviet government and the KGB to independent businessman, because with the collapse of the Soviet Union, the government was running out of money. One of the first things that happened was he lost his KGB caretakers that were assigned to him 24 hours a day dried up, and by the time I got there, the KGB had no surveillance on him. He was working to try to develop business commercial business with Europeans who wanted to do business in the Soviet Union. And so our interviews were interspersed with his trips to take care of his normal day-to-day business. On the other hand, we averaged about 8 hours a day together, sometimes during the day, sometimes at night. Whenever he was free, we were together doing interviews, touring Moscow, and asking questions.
So tell us about the tour. Where did he take you in Moscow?
It was an interesting tour. I don't think anyone has ever gotten the spies tour of Moscow from a CIA agent. I honestly can't tell. I was trying so furiously to keep up with him, to record every scrap of information on tape, that I didn't even, I don't even recall some of the places that we went, except that we did go down, make two extraordinary trips, one of which was to drive by the head of the equivalent of the CIA's Langley operations in Virginia, the headquarters for the KGB in Moscow. And during that same time, in that same area, we went to visit the site, the secret site, which has never been identified in print, where Mr. Howard had been was to have monitored Soviet communications traffic. I was shown the site that he was really trained to go to Moscow to take care of. He was never trained to be a spy master and run spies around the Soviet Union. He was trained for in technical operations.
And what were some of those technical operations?
Well, because some of them are, the main one is still classified. I'm not at liberty to be too specific. But on the Internet, just yesterday, I found an article which more or less described what he was actually doing, although I'm not allowed to say it. I can tell you what's been made public. outside of Moscow, the CIA had installed what this story calls a sophisticated tapping equipment near a high-frequency communication line. That's an approximation of what Mr. Howard was assigned to do, but essentially he was designed to monitor surveillance equipment that was providing vital intelligence information to the U.S. government.
You still with us?
Yep, I'm still there.
Oh, sorry. So tell me about David Weiss and the, he has access through the FBI and CIA channels. And tell me what the difference is and what he claimed Howard was doing.
Well, the picture, David Weiss, who is has enormous contacts inside the CIA and the FBI, and is well known as a writer about espionage, wrote a book about Ed Howard, and in fact visited Howard in Budapest in 1987 and interviewed him. Mr. Weiss portrayed Mr. Howard as a traitor to his country, as a spy for the Russians, and as a man who had disclosed huge amounts of classified information about Russians working for the CIA. And ultimately, Howard was accused of the deaths of five or six agents who had been allegedly working for the United States, working for the CIA. Ed Howard, when the book came out, Ed Howard was aghast. Much of the information that Mr. Weiss used as direct quotes was fabricated, according to Mr. Howard. Virtually all of the material which related to Howard's alleged disclosure of the names and identities of U.S. assets, that is, spies working for the CIA, was attributed to Howard by David Weiss, but that was essentially, for Howard to have done that would have been essentially impossible for several reasons. First of all, Edward Lee Howard never set foot inside Russia prior to his defection. He never got to serve on the assignment that he was being prepared for, because he was fired just within 3 or 4 days before he was supposed to leave for Moscow. He was fired based on lie detector tests administered by the CIA, which is a routine procedure for CIA officers who are headed overseas. And Howard was literally thrown out on the street. They took his car keys and told him, "You're fired." This left him a very angry man.
So they gave him absolutely no explanation why. He just took a series of polygraphs, and they asked him to resign.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. There were a total of 4 polygraph tests. Howard was never informed as to why he was being fired. All sorts of material has been leaked at various times to various people, suggesting that there Howard was found was believed to be covering up information, having lied, having withheld information about his drinking problems, his use of on a couple of occasions of cocaine and marijuana while he was a Peace Corps volunteer, all of which he had already informed the CIA about.
So he had told them up front.
He told them up front every single thing that there was to know, that every piece of dirt that could conceivably be assigned to him, he told in advance, because it's a routine, a standard operation that all CIA
operatives. I hate to interrupt you, but our standard operation is to go to another break. Hold on, hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Sure.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Welcome back to the program. And just before the break, we were talking about that series of polygraphs that he took. And what's interesting in your book is that you say he called the security section of the CIA and said, "Hey, shouldn't I be taking a polygraph?" And he went on later to say that was his biggest mistake.
Yes, in retrospect, Ed realized that had he never made that request for the polygraph, which he was supposed to, which was supposed to have been done on a routine basis anyway, that probably this entire everything bad that happened to him subsequent to that might never have happened.
But if he volunteered for the polygraph, can't we naturally assume that he had nothing to hide?
A reasonable person, I think, would probably conclude that. You don't, as someone who is trying to hide secrets, doesn't run around trying to get polygraphed about holding them.
Well, I wanted to ask you, were you ever worried about being arrested because of your work with Howard?
No, I was doing nothing whatsoever illegal, immoral, or fattening, for that matter. I was a writer interviewing a U.S. citizen, and the same way that any other reporter would have interviewed Mr. Howard, had that been their job in Moscow. And I also knew, as did my publisher, that the book, the entire manuscript, was going to be submitted to the CIA for vetting, that is, for to be checked to assure that no material that would be injurious to the U.S. government was contained in it. Consequently, I knew that, whatever I learned from Mr. Howard and wrote about would, in fact, be reviewed by the CIA, and that they would redline anything that would threaten U.S. national security. In fact, that did both things happened. The book was submitted to the CIA. The CIA did censor an entire chapter of material which related to Mr. Howard's real purpose for being in Moscow, that is, the technical operations, what they were supposed to accomplish, where the equipment was located, etc. For that reason, I had no reason at all to fear repercussions. I thought that there was a pretty good likelihood that I would be questioned upon my return about my talks with Mr. Howard, as others had been, because there was still a grand jury sitting at that time in Albuquerque, New Mexico, pondering his fate and whether he should be indicted. But that call never came, and I never heard any funny clicks on my telephone, so I assume that the National Security Agency had better things to do that time.
Well, were you under surveillance while you were there with him?
Not to the best of my knowledge. As I mentioned, since the Russian government was running so low on money, they called off his security guard. He didn't have a security detail following him anymore. Actually, I was a little disappointed in that. I thought it would be interesting to be able to claim that I was watched by the KGB, but the KGB, only time the KGB went out and put tails on Mr. Howard was when they had some new trainees to train in surveillance, and they would use Mr. Howard as their training device.
Well, you say that Mr. Howard took you to the exact place that the super secret CIA wiretap equipment was installed. Did you ever go inside?
No, I did not. I looked inside. I got a complete description of what had been there when Mr. Actually, it had been removed by the time Mr. Howard got to Moscow. But I realized that I was that to walk through that portal would have been a criminal act against the Russian government. So I wasn't that crazy. I took notes. I took pictures. I listened to all the details, but I did not go through that portal because that would have been a violation of Russian law, and I had no interest in being arrested in Russia.
Sounds like you use good judgment. Tell me, where's the CIA's multimillion-dollar black box data recorder now?
Actually, it is in. Let's see, what did they? I don't know the name for the successor of the KGB. What the Soviet, the Russian security services know now, I believe it's the FSB. Anyway, they have a spy, just like we in Washington have a spy museum. They have one in Moscow, and the black box that Mr. Howard was supposed to supervise, had he ever gotten to Moscow, is on display at the Russian Espionage Museum in Moscow, along with the credit card that Mr. Howard used to pay for his flight. From New Mexico, ultimately to Helsinki, Finland, and it's odd because at that time that credit card issued by TWA was known as a getaway card. A getaway credit card.
We're going to take another break, but you know what? When we come back, I want to talk about some of the key people in his life. And some of the early influences that he had when he was in the Peace Corps, following up to his appointment in the CIA.
Certainly.
So stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
And welcome back to the program. And before we get back with our guest, Dick Cote, I wanted to bring you a brief word from one of our sponsors. You might have heard of Cartivite. This product is no joke. If you're having health problems, getting tired or worn down, then you need Cartivite. Cartivite supports cardiovascular, blood pressure, cholesterol levels, and delivers nutrients to your cells. Plus, it's all natural. Visit our sponsor today at heartdrop.com or call 1-877-928-8822. That's 877-928-8822. I also want to encourage our listeners to visit our website at republicbroadcasting.org. And we are having a bit of a problem with our archives, but they tell me that they're working on that and they should be back up soon. Okay. Dick, we were talking about wanted to get into his early life when Lee Howard. He was married also to a woman that was trained by the CIA.
That's correct.
Grew up in New Mexico, and he finished college with honors in 3 years at the University of Texas at Austin. Tell us about his Peace Corps career and some of the things he did when he was in South America.
Well, Ed essentially was born into a very conservative family. His father was a career enlisted man that dealt with the rocket program. He moved around a great deal, as most military families did. He was baptized a Roman Catholic, became an altar boy, joined the Boy Scouts when he was 8 years old, and made it all the way up through Eagle Scout. So essentially came from a very traditional background. Wanted to, as a little boy, wanted to become a cowboy. He loved the open West. But by the time he had finished the University of Texas at Austin, he had been exposed to quite a new world. The anti-war counterculture, the Kent State Massacre in 1970s, and had become quite a scholar. His favorite philosophers were John Locke and Thomas Jefferson. And as you mentioned, he graduated in only 3 years, cum laude, from the University of Texas. But he was idealistic, he was adventurous, and he was offered an opportunity to join the Peace Corps and serve in Latin America. His mother was of Hispanic background, so he was familiar to some degree with Spanish. And so he joined the Peace Corps and was spent 2 years in Colombia, where he advised small businesses on business management and development and planning. And as was quite common at that period in Peace Corps, amongst the Peace Corps and many other young people, Ed Howard did take some cocaine at sometimes, and smoking marijuana was very was not the least bit uncommon.
Well, so those were things that he had disclosed to the CIA up front when they were doing his clearance. He didn't keep any of that from them.
No, not at all, because about 40% of all the people being interviewed for espionage positions with the CIA at that time had done coke and smoked pot. So that was not anything earth-shaking. And to withhold that kind of information and have it come up later during the CIA's extensive background investigations would, of course, been the kiss of death for any career. So he wanted to make sure that they knew everything that there was to know about him.
So he applied to the CIA in 79. He interviewed in 80. They brought him on, and he started training in January 1981 at the farm in Langley. Tell me about his training career.
Well, he went in, as did all of his colleagues in his class that year, for basic training at Camp Peary, known as the farm. To be an operations officer, that is, to be a field spy. he graduated in December 1981 in the top quarter of his class. And normally, the graduates of basic CIA training school graduates work their way up a career the way you would in the corporate world, starting with modest assignments and work taking on additional responsibility as you went on. But because of Howard's extremely high-level qualifications, he had a fantastic background. He was completely fluent in Spanish and German, and had done extremely well with both the Peace Corps and his second job for the U.S. Agency for Internal Development. He was offered the chance of a lifetime for a CIA agent. He was chosen for deep cover to be trained. Additionally, for deep cover operations in Moscow, and that was the plum of all plum assignments for anyone in the CIA during the Cold War.
So his cover was actually, people thought he worked for the State Department, but that
correct.
Was his cover. Yeah,
It's fairly common. U.S. Embassies all over the world have many staff members who have one official job and one real job. And he was a CIA officer. However, he was was to be sent to Moscow as a Department of State officer. That is, a diplomat, not a spy.
So we talked about the four polys that he took, and they kept bringing him back because they weren't satisfied with the results until the fourth one. And then he gets a phone call, come in, talk to us, and they were very blunt with him, gave him no explanation why he was being asked to resign or fired. And that was it. So he packed up, left Washington, and went back to New Mexico. Tell me about the trouble he got in one night when he was in New Mexico.
Well, Ed was, of course, very disoriented by the fact that he had been literally thrown out on the street without without a car. He returned to New Mexico, where he took up and took a position as an economic analyst with the New Mexico state government. And he moved to a small town just outside of Santa Fe. Over the course of the years, Ed had developed a drinking problem. And in 1984, while drunk one night, he got into an argument and took a gun from underneath from his car and shot up an empty car belonging to another man. He was arrested, convicted, and plea bargained to 5 years probation and no out-of-state trips without court permission.
But he did. He went to Europe, correct, several times during that time period?
Yes, he went to Europe, made three trips to Europe, for which he had, which he claimed were with his wife, and were for essentially tourist and business purposes, and also made, I believe it was two trips to Mexico.
So the real turning point for him was what happened next with Vitaly Yurchenko. Tell us how they fingered him for some of the things that other agents were actually doing.
Well, this is the point where it really, really, really gets complicated. In the world of spies and counter-spies, agents and double agents, those in the espionage community refer to their world as the Hall of Mirrors. No matter what you see is probably not what you're really seeing. No matter what you hear is probably not really the truth, or is a part of the truth, or is a convenient part of the truth. In 1985, KGB Colonel Vitaly Yurchenko defected to the United States, telling the CIA that there were two moles, that is, two embedded agents in the U.S. intelligence community, who were feeding information to the KGB. Yurchenko identified two people. One turned out to be Ronald W. Pelton, a National Security Agency communications expert who was arrested and ultimately arrested and convicted of selling massive amounts of communications and military information to the KGB. The other was not described by name other than a code name, which was Robert. And Robert was supposed to be was described by Yurchenko as being a disgruntled former CIA officer who was supposed to have been transferred to Moscow, but whose assignment had been canceled. Well, that was the profile of Edward Lee Howard. Yurchenko very soon turned out to be a double agent. He implicated Howard on the one hand, while at the other time he was really protecting Aldrich Ames, who continued to sell secrets to the Russians on a wholesale basis. And then Yurchenko redefected back to Russia in November of 1985.
Yeah, he walked into, was it Helsinki? He walked into the U.S. Embassy and said he wanted asylum, and they gave it to him immediately. So I wonder what made the CIA trust him if they believed that he had walked out of his own country and away from the allegiance that he had with Russia. But you say they did believe him, and they used some of the information that he had and just sort of fed into this whole mindset that they already had about Edward Lee Howard, because sounds like they were looking for a reason to surround him with FBI surveillance after all this had happened. Tell us about all the surveillance that he had when he was in, after he had moved from Washington back down into New Mexico.
Well, after the Yurchenko material serviced, Howard, it didn't take long to match the description provided by Yurchenko of this person with the code name Robert with Edward Lee Howard's actual background and behavior. And in 1985, the FBI started a massive investigation. Ultimately, Ed Howard had 60 FBI agents watching him 24/7. His house was wiretapped. There was aerial surveillance of his house. And Howard, who, of course, was a very well-trained spy, immediately spotted his FBI tail. And the FBI called him in for questioning. Howard hired a lawyer, but no, he knew he could be sent away for 7 years in jail strictly on his out-of-state trip violations alone. that stemming back to the drunken brawl and the use of the gun to put a hole in somebody's somebody's car. So, given that the general nature of the New Mexicans was extraordinarily pro-government, he felt it unlikely, given what the allegations against him, that he would ever be able to get a fair trial, and even if he were picked up for anything, he could have spent 7 or 14 years in jail just on the the gun incident, regardless of anything about having to do with espionage. He planned his escape using the tricks of the trade that the CIA had taught him. He bailed out of a car as it rounded a curve one night, temporarily out of the sight of the FBI car that was tailing him, made it to the airport, bought a ticket to New York and then to Copenhagen, where he arrived in September of 1985, but decided that he needed to get further away. He ended up in Helsinki, Finland, and completely evaded all 60 FBI agents that had been keeping him under wraps. It was an enormous embarrassment for the FBI.
Well, not to mention all the money it must have cost for the government to have that many people on his tail. And one thing I wanted to ask you is that, you know, he was accused of exposing the identity of CIA operatives in Russia, but was that even possible?
Well, no. And one of the main things that Howard makes in his book, this book, Safe House, is essentially Ed Howard's version of what happened to him. And to counter the allegations made in Wise's book and by the FBI and CIA. Ask me the question again there, Nadia, the specific thing you were going for. I got a little lost.
Well, that's okay. You know, he was accused by exposing identities of CIA operatives, but would he have even had that information?
Well, the answer is no, and there are very good reasons why. In the world of espionage, whether it's the Russians, the Americans, the French, or the Germans, there is one ironclad rule, and that is, no matter how high your security clearance, if you do not have a need to know a particular chunk of information, you are not granted access to it. It's known as compartmentalization. So, a person, for example, in the CIA, some CIA staff officers are trained to work with human assets, that is, recruit, train, and use spies, and others are trained in technical operations, electronic intelligence. Those two classes of people never have access to each other's information. There is a firewall. There are numerous firewalls that prevent access by person number one to information about, that's available to person number two, unless they have an official reason to have access to it. So Ed Howard never had any access whatsoever to any information about the names or roles of any spies working for the USA in Moscow.
Well, it must have been frightening for him to have been constantly accused of things he didn't do, and he must have felt like it was waiting for the other shoe to drop, because he never knew what would come up next, what he would be accused of next. So He successfully escaped from the U.S., as you say, embarrassed the FBI. But let me ask you, why did the Russians take him in? Why did the KGB take him in and support and protect him if they had not seen him as an asset? Was it simply sort of a public thing to say, aha, to the CIA, we got one of your men, and you don't know what he's going to tell us? Was it more of a psychological thing, or was there a really pragmatic element to it of his being an asset to the KGB?
Ed Howard's primary value to the KGB was propaganda. Howard was, and to this day is, the only American CIA officer ever to take to accept political asylum in the what was then the Soviet Union. The propaganda value was enormous. His espionage value was virtually zero. You have to recall, this man never got to spend one day in the field doing his job. They fired him before he went out on his first assignment.
So it was purely a kind of a cat and mouse game with the CIA and the KGB. Yep, we're going to take one quick break, and we'll be back for our final segment. Just hold that thought, Dick. We'll be right back.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Welcome back to the last segment of our show. And apologize for some of our listeners. Our stream has been down, but I think we're restoring part of that. So if you're just now tuning in, I encourage you to go into the archives and listen to the entire show. We were talking with Dick Cote, author of Safe House, the memoirs of Edward Lee Howard, ex-CIA spy. So we were talking about all of the events that had occurred as he had left the escape and the eyes of 60 FBI agents and managed to get into Moscow. And you were talking about how they had perceived him as having really positive propaganda value to them, and that he absolutely had no information that he could have passed to them that of a sensitive nature. And but, you know, they did seem to maintain him for quite a long time. Tell me about what he eventually did to sustain himself economically while he was in Russia.
Yes, well, Ed assumed that as soon as he was secreted over the border and taken to Moscow, that the Russians would start immediately grilling him about technical information and tradecraft. And he was very much surprised to find out that when he got a very warm reception, when the Soviet officials spent most of their time trying to make him feel at home, asking him about his family, how they could help his family, his wife, his son, how that they could arrange a reunification of Ed with his family, and asked him virtually nothing about espionage or tradecraft or CIA secrets, etc. At one of the briefings that he had, they plunked the black box that he was supposed to be was destined to have serviced on the table, and he realized that there was at that point that there was nothing whatsoever that he could tell them that they didn't already know. He spent most of his time working on his Russian, trying to rearrange the reconstitution of his family. Ultimately, the strain of being an expatriate spy took a very heavy toll on his marriage. Although his wife did, and young son did come to live with him outside the Soviet Union in Western Europe on three different occasions. Each time the arrangements were broken up by the FBI and the CIA, who never forgave him for causing them such loss of face. They never relented in making life miserable for Mr. Howard.
Well, tell me about his death. He died in 02, is that correct?
Yes. As is the case with many spies who live mysterious lives, Edward Lee Howard had a very mysterious death. In 2002, it was announced that Mr. Howard had died, and the various reports from Moscow said that he was walking around in his garden at twilight, lost his balance, and fell. The terrain was very steep, and banged his head on a stone. I know for a fact, personally, that was nonsense, because I walked that garden with him. That was at his dacha outside of Moscow. It was only about a quarter of an acre, not very large, surrounded by a 12-foot security fence. And it was as flat as a pool table. So the
official story was that he was found dead from an accident, but you and I both know that was not the case. Well, you know what? I'm sorry we're running out of time today. This has been a fascinating story. I encourage my listeners to go back and listen to the archives and the interview in its entirety. And Dick Cote, thank you so much for being my guest, and I hope you'll come back.
Thank you. And the book's available through the Public Library Interlibrary Loan System.
Hey, honey, I'm home.